Hello. I thought I'd just start with, well, it's not starting as such, but yeah, beginning of the beginning. On Friday, we had a kind of busy day, didn't we? Because we had our second alpha here, and it seems to be going good. You know, we're doing the meal, and it's involving a lot of us and a lot of work, particularly for those doing the children's work next door. I think they probably have the short straw, the hard work, you know. But it's, you know, it's good. It's happening. And then after that, I was on street pastor's duty, so I went straight home. Got in at 8:10, changed and got straight back out on street pastors. And it was good. We walk the streets, you know, of the town centre, you know, right up to midnight. And we, you know, got our uniforms on and walk around chatting. And that part of it's good. You know, you have fellowship with people from other churches or possibly your own church. And you know, when I went out this week, there were some from Crawley Baptist Church, some from Elim, and me from here. It's a good team, and we're chatting around, you know, and you have a bit of fun. And I had to carry this rucksack with all bits and pieces in it. And I think for the first time, and I've been going out for quite a number of times now, we came across broken glass, a bottle. And one of the things we're supposed to do is sweep it up. And so you get this dust. So there you are in the town centre. You get your dustpan and brush out and sweep all this glass up, you know, and put it in the bin. And off we went. And then if we see any glass bottles, we pick those up. Because, see, the idea, I think, is that they can be used as a weapon, see. So it's just sort of trying to keep the streets safer for people. So any broken glass we sweep up, any bottles, glass particularly, we pick up and put them in the bin. And so we found a couple of bottles. Oh, yeah, these were our exciting moments of the night, see. And it often is like this. And then we walked around, we'd gone to Asda's, and as we crossed over from Asda's, we found another batch of broken glass, two in one night. That's just unbelievable, because you might find one lot in a year. So we're having a bit of a laugh about this, because, you know, we got one dustpan and brush, and there's a whole load of these street passers all standing around watching, and it's like, how many street passers does it take to sweep up this bit of glass? And we're all watching while one of them, ooh, can I do it? Because, you know, it's like something to do. And but what was kind of interesting is, while we were watching and while one was sweeping up and while we were sort of laughing and joking about it, some young men came along, you know, probably going from one pub or club to another or whatever. And, you know, first of all, you get a little bit of banter, you know, it's fine. Oh, what's going on? Ooh, fancy doing this for nothing, da-da-da-da. And then one of the lads came along, he goes, oh, you're sweeping up the broken glass. That's really good. You know, and you could just tell that he really meant something, you know, that we were there sweeping up. And he was like, that's really good of you. You know, I thought it was a funny thing, because it seemed so insignificant to us. We were just having a bit of a laugh about it. And yet, it was a witness that these people were there in the dead of night, when no one else cared, who could be bothered. There we were, sweeping this glass up to try and make the place safer. And one of these young men was just like, oh, it's really good. And you could tell he meant it. He wasn't just messing about. And I thought, you know, sometimes the things we do, we can not even realize perhaps the impact or the message that it sends out. All the talking we could do to people, all this whatever, witnessing, and here was just a little act of sweeping up broken glass, and it probably meant it had a bigger impact than if we tried to preach to him, I think, in that situation. So you never know what things you might do that you might think are a waste of time or unimportant, You never know the impact that it has to other people. So anyway, what I'm going to talk about is the words that we use. It's a little bit like following on from our talk the other day about using Facebook in a sort of way. And I'm going to be looking at James and the tongue, but not at this moment as yet. But the tongue or the words have a lot of power, don't they? You know, we might think they don't, but they have a lot of power for good and for harm. You know, and just a few little words can cause an awful lot of grief, can't they? And just thinking about words that are said in different times, how many fights have been started by a careless word? How many wars have been started by words? You know, how many feuds where you won't talk to someone have been started because of something that was said? You know, I'm not talking to them anymore. They said, And it's some words, just words. You know, and things have started because of words, just a few words. And how many wars or fights have been avoided by a few words? Same thing. How many feuds have been stopped just by a few words? How, you know, a peace brought into a situation by some words. So words have the power to break, to destroy, to hurt, and they can also bring together. We can guide people with words, and we can lead people astray with words. You know, we can encourage and help people along a certain way with the words that we use, but we can also lead astray and lead them people wrong by words, advice that we might give. And in the Bible, it says that teachers will be judged more strictly because they have a responsibility. So I will be judged because I'm a teacher in the church more strictly by God than those that don't do any teaching. And even Sunday school teachers could be treated more strictly because they are teaching. Yeah. And this could seem a little bit scary. I could think, oh no, I don't want to teach because I'm going to be judged more strictly. And Ian could say, I don't want to teach because, you know, we're going to get judged more strictly for what we say. And it's true. You know, it could be a fear that we have. And, we can look at it in another way. It's a warning. It's a helpful warning to keep us conscientious in what we say, to think about what we say, and to help us. You know, when we come up here, there are consequences to what we say. And my understanding would be that teachers will be judged more strictly, but very likely will be rewarded for what they do. So you can look at it both ways. Teachers who speak to the church, who give guidance, will be judged more strictly, but will be rewarded for doing it. So we can either look at it negatively and run a mile, or we can say, yeah, well, I'll be faithful to your word, to what I can do, and hopefully get rewarded for it by God. So we can look at it one way or the other. But it does say that in the Bible. That is what the Bible says about teaching. It is because it can cause so much trouble, and the souls of many can be affected by a few words. The words or the tongue can very, we can blurt something out very quickly, can't we? Something happens, I mean, we've probably all been there. Someone does something or you see something and boom, you say something very quickly. And then once it's out, it's very hard to get those words back, isn't it? How often have we said something and thought, I wish I hadn't said that. But once those words are out, how do you catch those words back quick? It's like, they've gone and you can't catch them quick enough to get them back and you've said it. And how quick they can come out. And how hard it is to restore a situation of damage. You know, we blurt it out and then it's an awful lot of work to restore those words that have come out. And perhaps in this can be gossip, how quick we can spread a bit of gossip. Because gossip, well, it's quick. We can quickly spread it around. How hard it is to resolve once a rumor has been spread. Insults. It's, you know, how easy it is to give an insult. How hard it is to remedy it. And jokes and put downs. They're very easy to say, aren't they? They come out very quickly. And sometimes it's banter. And, if ever you go into like a male changing room or something like that, it's going all the time, you know. And I think most people, you know, they let it go because it's just the way it is. But sometimes things can be said and it's very hard to sort out. How do we retrieve them? It's really difficult. We are made in God's image. Yeah? The Bible tells us that we are made in his image and that we have to think of each other like that. Because it would be easy for me just to say, here's a list of words. Don't say these words and say these. But the Bible gives us reason for, you know, why we say them. Let me just read James 3. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. So it's something to be thought about when we go into trying to teach the word. We all stumble in many ways. If anyone is never at fault in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to keep his whole body in check. So that's a nice follow-on from the first verse. When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. I suppose we could take a car. It's driven by a little steering wheel wherever you want it to go, you know, if we wanted to modernize it. And it's getting even more complicated now, or clever, because you could probably drive a car with using a little, if they wanted to, tiny little steering stick, you know, like a computer mouse, because it can just all be connected by computers and wires. So, you know, just a little thing. That's what he's trying to get a point. A big thing. Planes are flown by a little thing, but it's a big craft that's flown. Where was I? A ship is just a little rudder steers a big ship. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue also is a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of his life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell. All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, creatures of the sea, are being tamed and have been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. So here we have this reading about words. And God used words when he created, didn't he? Let there be light. And he just used the words. And that's the power in words. You know, let there be this, let there be that. And we were made in God's image. And words for us have to have that. God has given us the power with words that they do affect people. And how many of people here have been either, have felt the power of words? Words can build us up and words can destroy us. You know, we've all felt the power of words. You know, someone says, oh, you'll never do that. You'll never come to much. You're not very bright. You'll never achieve anything, will you? And those kind of words, they kind of can have a controlling power on our lives. It's funny how we remember those words and not a compliment that is said to us. We'll always latch on to the "you'll never do." We won't remember the "you could do that," but we'll remember, "oh, you'll never come to that," or "you're useless," or that. You know, those kind of words, and they do have a power on us, don't they? And at a time of war, we want leaders to get up and say, "We can do it." Just words will motivate a whole nation, won't they? Churchill, it's his words. You know, people sort of hang on to them, and they want to. We want someone like that, don't we? So as we look at this reading, well, I like that verse at the beginning. It says, "We all stumble in many ways." And I thought, well, here we go. It sets kind of a high standard here, but straight away, we all stumble. So in a way, we all, he's acknowledging that, hey, we will make mistakes. We will not get it right with our words all the time. We will make mistakes. And I thought, that's good, because that makes me feel good straight away, because, you know I've said things I shouldn't have said. And I think, good, you know, at least he acknowledges that we're going to make mistakes. But let's not live in that knowledge that we can go round using that and say, hey, but we all make mistakes, and so we can just say what we like. But let's just live in the that place. And as we jump through the reading, it says in there, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men. You know, and it's men that were made in the likeness of God. And he's given the reason why we shouldn't, because God values man, doesn't he? God values man, and he doesn't want us to go round cursing. And cursing really isn't, it doesn't, I mean, we don't want to use bad language, but it's not, it doesn't really mean saying some sort of little swear word. It's really saying words that would be like, I hope you can never have children, or may you never have children, or may you die an awful death. It's really quite, it's a curse, and people used to put curses on people. So you know, someone does you wrong, you say, I hope you have a rotten week. Yeah? That's a curse, because that's the kind of thing people would want to put on people. They would want to say bad about them. So it's not just sort of like, you know, some swear word. Although we shouldn't use those. But really, it's like one minute we can praise God, and then we can say to someone, may you have a rotten week. I hope you have a rotten week. I hope you go to hell. Do you see the words that people say? That's a curse. Those are curses. And this is what can come out. We praise God. Oh, I hope they go to hell. Do you see? Curses. And we shouldn't God wants us to say, our attitude should be, I want you to go to heaven. We want to be blessing, not cursing. So what I'm hoping for us to do from today, I just want us to think about some of these things, you know, how we use the words that we have. And we grew up with the phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Who knows that one? And really think about this. It is a load of rubbish, really. I mean, I think it was used just to take the sting out for kids, you know, when you're at school. But really, words can destroy you, can't they? You know, when you think about it. And words can have a lot more power than someone hitting you. It's the other way around, really. But we do all stumble. We do all make mistakes, and we can acknowledge that. So looking at, we're made in his image. But we're not to use just crude words as well, because we're told in other places not to use crude words. And this morning we've been praising God, haven't we? We've been using our voices, our words, to give God glory and give him praise. And then we don't want to walk out of here and then just 2 minutes later say something that is unpleasant or not very nice. And like I said earlier, we could have a list of words that we shouldn't say and we should say and just make a rule about it. But it's understanding why we don't say that. It's more about understanding. Because if I just gave you a list, these are the words we can say, these are the words we can't say. There's no meaning to it. There's no understanding. Why don't we curse someone? Because God loves people. He doesn't want to see them go to hell. People are valuable in God's eyes. It might not be valuable in our eyes, but they're very valuable in God's eyes. Everybody around is valuable in God's eyes. And that's why we don't go around saying those things, because God values them. Only we haven't caught up with God as yet. And sometimes we praise God, and when we praise God, we say in God is holy, God is pure, God is truthful, he is right, he is honest, patient. And in the Bible it says that we shouldn't profane his name, or we shouldn't use his name in vain or lightly, yeah? Now then, just looking at this and thinking about this, we can use words like, oh my God. And it's used on Facebook and things, OMG. That's what it means. Oh my God. We're making God just a byword. We shouldn't be saying that. That's really bringing God down into our low vocabulary. So God is holy. The Israelites wouldn't even say his name, but we can go, oh my God. We could say, oh Christ. I've left the shopping behind. And we just use it and like that. That's profaning his name, because it's bringing God's name just down to the swear word. And we shouldn't be doing that. Our language, God, his name should be holy. His name should be pure, so we shouldn't just say, use his name, his title, Christ, the Savior, as a swear word. So we're not, 1 minute we're in church saying, oh Christ, you died for me. Then we go out and say, I don't even like to say it. I don't like to say it because it's so special, but I don't like to even say it in that sort of context. But really, I'm trying to get the point that we shouldn't be saying, you know, oh my God, I've left my shopping behind, you know, or any other word like that. Because his name is too holy. That's why. So I could just give you a list, but really, why don't we say it? Because God, his name is pure and holy, and we don't want to debase it. What about using his name in vain? Well, we can use I was reading an article by R.T. Kendall, and we can bring God into our conversation, almost name drop him, to win the thing. And I'll give you an example. My dad once went to a Christian conference, and he saw on his car, or whatever it was, a sign for sale. So he went up to the owner and he said, oh, you're selling your car? And the man goes, yeah. And he goes, oh, how much do you want for it? And the man said, the Lord's told me to ask for this much money. Now then, maybe the Lord had, but my dad could not even sort of argue with it. He just walked away, because if the man had said, oh, name a price. Now, if he could have, my dad could have said the exact figure that the Lord had given him. But he had said, the Lord has given me this figure. It was no negotiation. He had used God's name to get the price that he was going to get. And there was no, now, whether he was using his name in vain, think about it. I'm just getting you to think about these things. But because when we bring God into the situation, you win the argument, see, because God tells you. Do you see what I mean? So if I say, God's told me to do this, there's no negotiation, because then you're sort of arguing with God. And sometimes we can use God to win the argument. And I'm not saying we shouldn't say it, but think about saying, dropping God into the conversation to get your way. That could be using God's name in vain. It's interesting, because I read an whole article about this, R.T. Kendall. I don't know if you heard of him. And he was saying the very same thing about how we can use God's name to get our way. And he was putting a question over, are we using God's name in vain, you know, using his name lightly when we do that? And it's just to think about, when we say, God said, I'm not saying we shouldn't, I'm just saying think about it. When we do say it, it shouldn't be used lightly, because then we can be taking his name in vain just to. And then another occasion, someone said to me, oh, we met in a nightclub. I can't remember the exact words, but we met in a nightclub. Our birthdays were on the same month, I think, or the same day. And they were kind of on, is this God's will? And you think, you know, it was like, I thought there was superstition here getting muddled up in with bringing God into this. And I think about these things, you know, when do we bring God into it? Because we met in a nightclub and our birthdays were on the same night. This is God's will. Do you see? And I just think sometimes we bring God into it. We profane his name. We degrade the holy God when we sometimes bring him. Now, it might have been, God might have worked in that situation, but it's just think about it. Now, this all might sound a bit negative, of what we mustn't do, the mustn'ts, but I do want us to think about the way the words we use and how we say it, because we do, like even in Aaron James, it says, you know, we praise God one minute and we can be cursing someone the next minute. And should that come from the same person? But what we should try and be doing, of course, if we're praising God, blessing God, we should be doing the same with each other, shouldn't we? We should be encouraging each other, blessing each other, praising each other. And when we encourage each other, you know, it's good. Our words have that positive effect. But our words should come with meaning and truth, you know. If you can praise someone, who's watched The X Factor? Now, I know, and I don't want to make you feel guilty, but you get to some people come on, and, you know, they say, I've got The X Factor. And then you're waiting for them to sing, and they start, and you're like, oh my word, how did they get on there? And we quite like it. It's entertainment. Sadly, we're laughing at their expense, but But I wonder to myself, how did they get on there? And I can't work out in my head whether it's just pure showbiz and it's not real, or whether these are genuine characters that someone has encouraged them, I'll use that word, that they can sing and they go on X Factor and make a fool of themselves. Because in a way, that's what they're doing. And I don't know what it'll do for that person for the rest. You know, if it was a genuine situation and you went on there, that could just ruin you, couldn't it? It could destroy you. And sometimes we can build people up with what we say, or we can delude people with what we say. So be careful. Just think about what you might say to someone, whether you can bring delusion into their life or bring growth into their life. Do you see what I mean? You know, if I said to someone, become a Christian, all your problems disappear, everything will go good for you, you live a wonderful life, and everything's great. Well, is that right? Yeah, good, thank you. Because, you know, we can still have problems, things, you know, we can delude people by building it up falsely. And what we need to be doing is bringing value to it, and bring in true encouragement to people, to help people grow without deluding them. So if we say, oh, as a Christian, there must be something wrong if you have hit a problem. Well, you know, could be wrong. That just might just make them feel guilty and hopeless. And it's something right out of their circumstances, nothing to do with them. So we do have to be careful with what we say. We can discourage by thinking we're encouraging. But we do want to encourage. Words have a lot of strength and a lot of power. And I was talking with Ed, my boy, the other day, and we were talking about a race that he did a couple of years ago. And he said to me, I can still remember my teacher coming to that race, because it was on a Saturday, so she didn't have to be there, but it was running, I don't know, Sussex-wide thing. And he can still remember her cheering him on, and it spurred him on. And he remembers that now, 2 years later, and he's done lots of races since. And I thought, well, you know, that can be the power of someone that you know, speaking something into that situation and spurring him on. Words can spur us on and they can encourage us, but they need value, don't they? They need to have value and meaning. She didn't shout, come on, Ed, you can beat them all by miles, because he was coming towards the end and there were people in front of him. And I don't know what, if you said that, it would have no meaning to him. He would brush that. I asked him about it. He said, I would probably just not, I'd ignore that comment. You know, it would have to, if she had said something ridiculous, that was too much, you just would blank it out. So, I just want to draw it to an end, really, because time has gone. Sometimes when we are in a situation, we don't see things how others can. Sometimes you're in your situation. Ed was in that race, he was just running what he could. But someone from outside says, come on, Ed, you can do well, you're finishing nicely. I'd just like to share a couple of examples of encouragement, and then I'll finish. Just this week, Caroline Wainwright. It's Caroline, I've got to drop her in it. She said to me, after the Alpha talk, well done, that was good. Now, that you might think, oh yeah, everyone could have said that, but it I knew it meant more, because that was an affirmation for me, because there's a little story behind that, because Caroline wasn't sure, and she was thinking perhaps we should use the video still, and I'm happy to either. So when she said that to me, that was a real plus from Caroline, just for her saying that to me, because she was actually saying, I thought we should use the videos, but you did well. Do you see what I mean? Does that make sense? And it had value to me. That had value. But other little things, we had the YWAM students who've just come in from outside, from other churches, from Australia, America, oh, I don't know, all over the place. They come up, and after the end of the Alpha and the Friday meal, they said, this whole thing is a really good thing you've got going here. It's really good. And you think, that's just nice, isn't it? That's a real little, they've come in from the outside, a word of encouragement. Michael in the coffee shop, he doesn't come to this church. He has spoken here a few times. He says, coffee shop is so good. It's just such good community. And it's just such a good outreach in the area. Just little words from outside. You see what I mean? Gordon, who was here last week, Gordon Hamilton, spoke to us. He spoke about prayer. And at the end, he said, you know, I really enjoyed being here with you. I mean, he said, I can only comment on the first half because that's the bit he could comment on because he was the speaker, see? So he could say, I really enjoyed being part of that. I enjoyed hearing the different people praying and taking part. So that's an encouragement to you all that, you know, he said, what a good little church you are here. I don't know if you use the word little, but what a good church. And that's a word from outside. I think that's a real, those can be words of encouragement. And I just want to thank you, you know, for being part of the Alpha, those that are involved and people that aren't even there that are praying for it, because I know people are. And it's really good. So let's just think about what we say and let's encourage each other. It might just be a little word. Let's think about the words that we actually use, the words we say, the words that we say to each other. And how we bring God into our situations, whether we are bringing him in for the right reasons into the conversations that we use. Let's use words wisely and to encourage each other. I'll just pray and then we'll say the grace, yeah? Father, we thank you that you are a holy God and that you value us more than we value each other, Lord. And I just pray that you would help us to see the value in each other and help us to bless and encourage one another and help us to see when we have said something we shouldn't say, Lord, and help us to be able to try and put it right much harder. Lord, I just pray that you would watch over us now as we finish here and as we go out and mix in the world and as we use our words in the world, Lord, help us to think about what we say with those words and how we are using those tongues that you've given us. In Jesus' name, amen.